The butt though, Kim. It's crazy. Anyway.
Just it does not quit, is what I'm coming to
Never
understand.
know. It's yeah.
Yeah.
It feels wrong to objectify his body in this way.
We're also talking
So.
a lot about his adeptness as an actor.
Oh, for
So I
sure.
think we can also talk about how nice his butt looks. I'm sure, did a lot of squats to get that butt looking that
Yeah.
good. We commend his hard work. Yes. God's work.
Great. It's God's work.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Two White Girls Talk Bollywood. I'm Kim.
And I'm Katie, and we're here to talk about singing and dancing and Bollywood boys and their daddy issues.
Yeah, Bollywood boys who love their dads in fully healthy and wholesome ways.
Totally
Yeah.
healthy. Yep. No concerning things here. Not at all.
My
Wowzers.
goodness. What
Yeah.
a movie was Animal. I
Yeah.
general overall thoughts. What do you say, Katie?
Yeah, I liked it.
Okay.
I thought the acting was unbelievable.
Yes, very good performances from all. Yes.
Yes. I also loved the music.
Music was great. Yes.
Yep. I also loved like the actual like filming, the way that they framed shots and like the costume design I thought was also really beautiful, like the colors that they intentionally chose in certain scenes. Really liked that. Plot-wise, I was so on board, and then I think I started to lose the thread a little bit. And then we will talk about the ending when we get to the ending, but I felt like it could have ended a scene earlier than it did.
At least. I agree with you. It was certainly an entertaining film to watch, but I think, I don't know if I would go so far as to say that I liked the movie. There were aspects of it that I enjoyed. There were sequences in it that I was really into, and there were moments where I was like, I see what you guys are doing and I'm into it. You're making a statement about masculinity. Oh, no, it doesn't seem like you're doing that. Okay, you're making a statement about like, emotions and unhealthy relationships with your parents. Oh, okay, actually, no, maybe you're not doing that. Like, that was just, it was constant for me where I think I was looking for more than what this movie was actually delivering. And I just don't understand why it was 3 hours and 20 minutes and didn't have any of that depth that it could have, but just chose not
Yeah,
to.
it was like they were halfway there
Yeah,
on,
they
or
came.
not even like 3/4 of the way
I
there on
would,
several
yeah.
different themes.
They came, they were like one step away from having a message, and they just fell short, like just short of the finish line there.
I also never thought I would say this about a Bollywood film or a Hindi language film, but it was gory in a way that I just like don't need to see someone's eye get stabbed out,
No,
and I
nobody
don't need to
does.
see someone's jugular get sawed through.
No, so slowly.
That's too much for me. It would be too much for me for a movie that came out of Hollywood. Like,
Right.
yeah.
It was gratuitous. It was gratuitous violence, and my feeling around that is there really has to be a purpose. Like, you have to be saying something. And again, it was like they came really close to saying something. That those moments of gratuitous violence could have been in service of, and then it just wasn't.
Yeah, I agree. And like, yeah, I guess basically it's like I thought there'd be more depth to it other than
Yeah.
like man is just beast. But no.
Even that, I don't even feel like that message came through clearly. Like, the name of the movie was Animal, and even that message, I don't think really truly like landed for me.
Yeah, it's like you see it in some circumstances, but then they would do something that kind of went against that. And
It's
then
like
I was like,
they wanted there to be like an emotional component that like transcended that, and I was like, okay, which is it? It's a whole thing. But Before we dive into the plot, I did want to just mention the fact that the movie was nominated for 19 Filmfare Awards.
Wow.
And it won 6, but it won for things like what you were just saying. I mean, Ranbir Kapoor won Best Actor, which I do think was deserved. I haven't seen all the other actors and what they did, but he did a great job in this. And it also won for, like, Best Score and Best Best Male Playback Singer for the song that happens during the, like, the big climactic, not climactic, but you know what I'm talking about, the big scene, the big one.
Oh, yes, that was a good song.
I'm just sitting here, like, waving my arms around.
And I'm just staring at you blankly.
I can't remember what the title of the song was, and I didn't write it down, but anyway.
But anyway, so Animal was directed by Sandeep Reddy Venga. Then we have Ranbir Kapoor playing Ranvijay Singh. Anil Kapoor playing Balbir Singh. Rashmika Mandanna, who was phenomenal.
She was absolutely incredible. She was my favorite part of the movie.
Absolutely. And at first, I was really worried her character, Geetanjali, was going to be a nothing character.
Yeah.
And she is, like, my favorite part. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's interesting because I can completely understand where that fear would come from. And I just, I felt like from the start, there was just something in her eyes where I was like, there's no way that she as an actress is going to let this character be nothing. And I'm just really impressed with like what she did with the material that she was given.
Yeah.
She was really wonderful.
I see that. Yeah. She was great. And then we have to give some props to Bobby Deol, who doesn't show up until like the last quarter of the film. But he plays Abrar, so.
He does. Bobby Deol, who I can't look at without thinking about Dostana, and just the fact that he looks so much like Charles Boyle from Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
He really, really, really does.
Like, more than I think I've ever seen two people look alike who weren't related.
Oh my god, that's so funny. Yeah, I see that.
Yeah. So you'll never unsee it, I'm telling you.
Thanks for that.
You're welcome.
For the sake of the plot recap, I'm going to refer to Ranbir's character, Ranvijay, as Vijay, and then Rashmika's character, Geetanjali, as Geeta, because keep things snappy. Keep it moving.
I like snappy. I also just, I don't know if this would have, like, come up naturally in the recap, but I wanted to say how cool it is that, like, even though the subtitles refer to other characters by their names, the characters rarely refer to each other by name.
Yeah,
like, he's never calling his sisters by their name, they're never calling him by, well, that's a whole, like, thing, but, like,
right.
Even after we hear his name, where, you know, and I just, I thought that was a really interesting choice.
Yeah, I agree, and Ranvijay always referred to Geeta as Geetanjali, and then she always referred to him. Well, she never really referred to him by name at all, I think, so.
I wasn't paying attention to that, but he did always call her Geetanjali,
Yeah, which I kind of liked. It was like, nope, that's your name, that's what I'm calling you. But I'm not calling her that, so.
Until it got weird, but.
Until it got weird.
That's like the definition of this whole movie. It's just like, yeah, it was there, and then it got weird.
Yeah. One more thing before we start. Like, Vijay is such an interesting character. Because you want to think he's a brute, but he's also kind of charming.
Yeah.
And then he'll do something, and I'm like, oh, no, I don't like you. And then he'll, like, win me back over, and I'm like, I feel like I'm in a toxic relationship with this character.
Well, I feel like that should be attributed to Ranbir's acting
anything
else. And also, again, was a point that I thought maybe could be being made and wasn't. So,
yeah,
I felt the same way, and it just led me to feel, like, more frustration about the movie's lack of a point.
Right. I feel like we didn't conclude some things. But anyway, let's just do it.
Yeah, let's get in it.
So, we start in black and white with a banner that says celebrating 100 years, 1956 to 2056. And an aged Vijay is speaking about his father to his men. And then he tells them a story about a lewd monkey.
Great.
Now, if you think that that'll come back, it won't. Like, you don't actually see Vijay get old and get, like, whatever. I was like, why did we have to see 2056? It's cool. Whatever. that happened.
Maybe we'll find out in the sequel why that's significant. Ugh.
More on that later.
Sorry.
I won't reveal my thoughts about a sequel. But then we go to New Delhi in 1996 to a classroom where a young Vijay tries to leave early because it's his dad's birthday. Mm-hmm. But he is stopped by his teacher. And so when he finally arrives home, he's excitedly looking for his father, but his mom says that his dad's a busy man and had to go to the factory because they have like a steel factory called Swastik. Later that night, Balbir, Papa, is reprimanded by his wife because the kids made him a birthday cake and tried to stay up for him but were unable to. And she tells him that he is their son's hero. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, young Vijay has written a super sweet note about how he wants to be his dad's father in their next life so that he can show him how much he loves him in this one. Which is kind of cute coming from a little kid, but what it turns into is a bit like...
It gets a little weird, yeah.
It gets again, a little that's weird.
That's the vibe.
It's like, you're really into your dad.
Yeah.
Okay. But then we time skip. And we see Vijay is all grown up with long hair, like, pulled into, like, a half bun. It looks great. Yeah. And he rolls up to an engagement party with, like, all of his friends, only to be stopped in his tracks when he sees that the woman getting married is his childhood love, Geeta.
Mm-hmm.
And so we see Geeta's fiancé leave, and she's just chatting to Vijay. And he asks her, like, what happened to your plan to go to graduate school in the U.S.? And she explains that she'll be able to continue her studies after getting married. And then Vijay tells her that centuries ago, women chose their partner for who would protect them and their children from rival hunters. They were looking for the alpha male.
Yeah.
And Geeta admits that back then she would choose the alpha.
I do just think it's helpful to remember that choosing a mate is a different thing from choosing a husband slash life partner.
We're no longer fighting off rival hunters or like beasts.
And also the whole like alpha male thing has already been like debunked. It's like not a real scientific thing. So like, but.
And that's like the whole thing.
Vijay didn't read that those articles. Yeah. He doesn't know.
Yeah. And Geeta goes to leave and he stops her just to say she has a big pelvis, which means she can accommodate healthy babies.
This was the first of several times in my notes where I just wrote Jesus in all caps.
Yeah. It's like he wrote he read a book about how to pick up women that was based on like really like caveman ideas. Yeah. And then is putting it into practice. But, I mean, it works. So, for her. So, you know.
In this one very specific instance, it did work out okay. But, well,
don't take that as well.
Until it got weird.
Until it got weird, yeah. And later that night, Vijay asks his friend, Kartik, who also happens to be Geeta's brother, if he thinks it's possible for him to marry Geeta. And Kartik tries to tell Vijay off, but Vijay says she won't be going to the U.S. with her fiancé. Instead, she'll come running to him whenever he asks. And again, there's something sexy about confidence, but there's nothing sexy about controlling.
Controlling women.
Yeah. But also, it's also a movie, so at times I'm like, I'm kind of into it, but not actually, like... More on that later. Not in this moment.
Yeah,
not
in this moment. That the into it comes in later.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Sorry. I cried. Whew, I'm getting worked up. Yeah. Okay. We then see some slight tension of a different sort between Vijay and his sister's husband, Varun, when it comes to getting the attention of Balbir. Vijay and Varun end up having this whole fight about the family business because while Vijay has been in the U.S., Varun has been helping run the business. And this fight gets super heated, and we see that Varun is maybe not a great guy. He's kind of manhandling Vijay's sister, Reet.
Yeah.
And then after that fight, Vijay tells his other sister, Roop, that he plans to end both Varun and his brother. Just, like, casually, like, just so you know, Reet's gonna be a widow someday.
And I'm going to be the cause of it.
Yeah. And then we get a flashback to when Reet was in college and Vijay was in high school. And we see Reet desperately trying to call Balbir. He's not answering. So Vijay is like, hey, what's wrong? And she tells him that she's being harassed by other college students. So he immediately goes with her to her college and interrupts a lecture to be like, who messed with my sister? No one gives him any info. So he walks out, gets a machine gun, and comes back and shoots into the floor. Yeah, this is not attractive.
No, this, we, you know, like we've talked about shows of violence before and how we feel about them. This moment of someone walking into a classroom,
you know,
with an automatic rifle and just shooting.
Yeah.
Didn't do it for me.
No, I also, I wonder if, you know, I wonder what someone living in a country where they don't have the mass shootings
and yeah,
like specifically the mass school shootings that we have, like
yeah,
how do they feel about it? Because I genuinely don't know how to look at that without the like shared trauma of
and the added lens of we work at universities, like I totally think that I would have felt similarly to the way I feel about other violence that's depicted in this film and other violence that's depicted in other movies we watch, where I am just sort of like, wow, that was a big move but
you don't really think beyond that. Yeah,
in this moment, I was not into it. Yeah, no, not for me.
Yeah, me neither. But it works. That show of force works. And he does get the names of the four guys who harassed Reet. And so as Reet and Vijay are driving back home, Reet's really mad because he shot up her college, which, yeah, fair.
Yeah.
And he argues that to keep her safe, he'll be anything, including a goon. At that moment, the harassers roll up on either side of the car on motorcycles, and Vijay doesn't hesitate before using the car to, like, go after them all. Even the ones that flee, he chases down.
Yep.
And no one dies, but it's implied that they're severely injured.
Yeah, they're these probably boys. Not well. Yeah.
Yeah, no. And so we see Balbir slap Vijay for bringing a gun to the college and firing it, and he tells Vijay that he could have gone to jail, and he's raised a criminal. Mm-hmm. And then he says that he is sending Vijay to boarding school. So that's how he ends up in the U.S.
Yeah.
And this is definitely, like, the criminal aspect is something that kind of crops up. More on that later.
The choice of violence over logic, yeah.
Yeah, but also then the way that Vijay views it versus the way other people view it.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, where it's like you're not a criminal if your actions are justified. But they're justified by you.
It's like vigilante justice.
Yeah. But back to the present and Balbir's birthday party. Vijay goes to apologize to Varun. And then Vijay and Balbir have this conversation where Balbir tells Vijay that he was always a difficult child with no discipline. And he made some mistakes parenting him, but he sent him away for his own good to learn that discipline. Mm-hmm. And then Balbir's like, Varun is calm and capable in a way that you could never be, and that's why he's taking over running the family business that I wanted to, like, pass down to you. And Vijay says he gets it. Varun is Balbir's real son, while Vijay is just the bastard. And Balbir slaps him. And Balbir ends up telling Vijay, get out of my house. As Vijay is throwing his bags in the car to leave, Kartik arrives with Geeta.
Yeah.
And we learn that Geeta has called off her wedding and has been kicked out of her house. And Vijay's like, okay. And he brings her back into his house with him to go introduce her to Balbir. And Vijay tells Balbir that they're getting married. And Balbir is completely silent. And then he gets up and leaves the room because it's time to cut the cake. And then we get this beautiful, like, string music in the background. And then it also is just, like, focuses on Vijay's eyes for a moment. And Romper's good at showing, like, the welling up of emotion in his eyes. So I did appreciate that, that sometimes you look at his eyes and you're like, they're dead. And then sometimes you look at his eyes and you're like, oh, wow, you're feeling so much.
Yeah, I do. I think that this is a particularly interesting moment, just, like, the out-of-touchness of Vijay, like, going back and, like, after having this fight with his dad,
yeah,
to then come in and be like, this is the girl I'm gonna marry, aren't you excited to meet her? Like, it's, I almost feel like they were setting up again, something that they didn't fully then take advantage of, but, like, this idea of him maybe, like, not being so good at reading emotions and, like,
yeah,
maybe almost being a little bit of a sociopath in a way. But, yeah, like, I don't, but, again, it doesn't really, like,
right,
come to fruition in any meaningful way.
Yeah, I think, too, I would need to watch it again. You know, like, I feel like I was watching it fully from the lens of, like, his point of view, like, Vijay's point of view,
mm-hmm,
without fully thinking about Balbir's point of view. And so I kind of would want to watch it again, but thinking about it from his angle.
Okay, yeah. If you do that, let me know what new thoughts you might have about it.
You can't.
I could not have less interest in watching this movie again in my life.
That's totally fine. I'm not saying that it's something I would do anytime soon.
But maybe.
But
someday.
I did actually kind of enjoy it. Yeah, not even kind of. I did enjoy it.
You know, it was one of those movies for me that I did enjoy, again, certain aspects of it as I was watching. I found myself kind of exhausted by it. And then the more I thought about it and the more, you know, I read some reviews and things, the more I was like, you know what? No.
Yeah.
Not it for me.
I haven't really fully had time to process it.
Right.
So,
yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway.
The initial moment of my attractedness to Vijay is when they first encounter each other and he's like, are you okay?
Yeah.
Is everything all right?
Yeah.
Are you safe? Did anyone hurt
right.
you? Like, that level of attentiveness.
Yes.
Was
very,
very appealing. Yeah. And then again, you know, it mm-hmm. goes awry, but.
Yeah. I found that very attractive too. And again, it's just like, he is a protector of women. And at first I was like, 100%, like, he's a protector of women. And then later I'm like, this is a little toxic.
It's like, yeah, protective in a way that suggests he doesn't think women can protect themselves, not in a way that
yeah.
suggests he thinks that women deserve respect from him in any kind of way.
Right, but
yeah.
also it's
and might
like,
face different challenges from him.
Yeah. But anyway, yes, so Vijay and Geeta get a similar reaction from her family, who are all horrified. And everyone's berating Geeta. And Vijay and Geeta are just sitting through this as everyone's like, Geeta, explain yourself. And then they kiss.
They just kiss in front of the whole family.
Yeah. And I like that there's like some people are disgusted, but a lot of people are like, yeah.
I feel like the young people are all like, that's cool. We like that.
Yeah. And then we get Hua Main. I really like this song.
Yeah.
It's a very sexy song.
Uh-huh.
It's a very sexy video. But we then see Vijay bring Geeta to his private plane.
Uh-huh.
But they take off, and I thought surely he'll have his own pilot.
Yeah.
No. He is the pilot. And then they start kissing.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just fully stands up, like, puts
yeah.
the plane on autopilot and leads Geeta to the back of the plane where they disrobe and have sex.
Mm-hmm.
And afterwards, he takes a mouthful of water.
Yeah.
And she literally drinks from his mouth.
Yeah.
And this is when I learned something about myself.
Oh my God, Katie, what?
I never want that to ever happen to me. I don't know what it is, but something about everything. I don't know, Kim. I don't know. I was like, it's a weird thing to be like, I find this very sexy, but also I never want that. Like, I don't want to drink water from any man's mouth ever.
No, yeah. Watching other people experience something and finding it attractive is different from wanting to experience it for yourself.
Right.
So I think that's fine. I, you know... To each their own, I say.
Yeah, so that happens. I also just, Ron Beer's body, I just really like his back.
He does have a really nice back. And I, you know, this then goes into the like, she comes out of the bathroom and then he goes back into the bathroom. He's just, like, sitting there with a towel around his waist. I was really into that, too. Like,
when he's just, like, shirtless flying the plane, like, with a toothbrush sticking out of his mouth, I was like, I'm dying. Yeah.
I enjoyed this whole kind of sequence. I'm into this, but the flip side of this coin isn't pretty. And I think it's interesting that, mm-hmm. like, we've already seen the flip side of this coin.
Yeah.
There was this sense of, like, the movie trying to kind of, like, push a little bit and be like, you've already seen what this man is capable of. How far can we take that and then also show you this in this moment and, like, you will still be attracted to him and you will still be interested? And, again, came really close to saying something about that.
yeah, I'd agree with that. Anyway, they then get married at a remote temple on a snowy mountain. The next morning, Geeta asks Vijay if he'll be different from his father because they're talking about having kids, and he immediately tells her that his father is the best father in the world and she will never talk like that again. Mm-hmm. Which is scary. Like, the way he flips from being, a romantic, fun husband to, like, don't talk about my dad that way. Yeah, terrifying. And she apologizes, and he says he'll never betray her. Next scene, time has clearly passed, because Vijay's hair is once again glorious, and mm-hmm. he has a full beard, and I'm all about it. And he rolls up with a gang of guys in suits with guns. Mm-hmm. And they enter a fancy hotel where a conference is happening that Varun is attending. And Vijay proceeds to strangle Varun and then shoot him 3 times for good measure.
Yes.
So he's dead.
Casual.
Super casual. And then Vijay and his guys go and kill Varun's brother. And then they have a casual conversation as they eat about a guy named Freddy coming tomorrow to give them a demo. And now we finally get the title of the film, Animal.
Yeah.
And I do like that it comes after, like, they've murdered these two people and are just standing around eating, casually talking about, like, the detergent they're using on their underwear. Like,
right. Yeah, this movie's a lot more about underwear than I ever would have guessed.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is that just sort of, like, cavalier, like, yeah, we just killed people, but, like, mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. That's not what's...
Yeah.
We can still just be people hanging out with each other.
Mm-hmm. So Vijay and Geeta then have a conversation where Geeta tells him that they were happy in the U.S., but she's not happy here, and she mm-hmm. doesn't know why they came back. And then cue the flashback.
Yeah.
Where we learn that Balbir was shot in an assassination attempt, but he did survive, and Vijay brings his family back to India to visit his father. When Vijay is finally shown in to see Balbir, it's very emotional, and again, we get that whistling music. And he then introduces Balbir to his family, and he's like, yep, here's Geeta, here's the kids you've never seen. Mm-hmm. So that's fun. Vijay then tells his uncle that they'll need to tap everyone's phones, because he's like, no one has any details about who attacked Balbir, so we gotta get on this. And then Vijay goes to his grandfather's village to see the family that he hasn't seen in a really long time. Mm-hmm. And he apologizes on behalf of his father for not being in touch for over 20 years. And he then asks the family for help in protecting Balbir because they need people they can trust.
Yeah.
After some deliberation, they agree to send all their young men back with Vijay.
I love these guys.
I love these guys too. They're all like, they have a really cute energy.
These guys are all, like, really supportive of each other in ways that I really enjoyed. I don't know.
Yeah.
But a lot of them seemed less toxic than Vijay.
Yeah. But yeah, so the village men all pledge themselves to Balbir, and Balbir's looking a bit emotional about this. Vijay then tells Balbir that he'd burn down the world for him.
Yeah.
These kinds of grand romantic statements are usually made in... like romances.
Interesting. Yeah.
So I was like, it's kind of interesting that this is a father-son relationship.
Yeah. I do feel like Balbir is pretty clearly disturbed by Vijay's devotion to him. And I think that's also where the ideas of, like, you know, Vijay maybe potentially being emotionally unwell or just mm-hmm. imbalanced in some way kind of started to come forward for me. And also just the fact that, and I don't know if this was because of Anil Kapoor's performance, but like Balbir just really did seem like a fairly reasonable guy to me. Like, yeah, he maybe wasn't the best dad. He was not the most attentive father or husband. Yeah. But like, he's not a bad person.
Yeah. And that surprised me as like, I expected him to be a gangster
when I started the film. Me too. And then the moments where he and Vijay are, like, getting into it, I definitely am, like, on his side in it. Because I'm mm-hmm. like, yeah, Vijay's doing stuff he shouldn't be doing. So I kind of get why you would be a little bit like, dude, you gotta stop. You gotta cool it with this because you're hurting people and you're committing crimes.
I think, A, I was here for the gang drama, like, for the gun violence
in that way. Yeah.
and I'm not saying this definitely doesn't, I don't think that Vijay's actions are justified, but I couldn't stop thinking about this little boy who just wanted to spend time with his papa, and mm-hmm. papa wasn't there.
I also definitely agree with you that, like, I'm not saying I didn't want the violence.
Yeah.
Or, like, the sort of, like, I didn't, it's not that I didn't want Vijay to be a criminal, because I really enjoyed watching a lot of his criminal activities.
Yeah,
I just think that that dynamic, it seems like that was supposed to be, like, the central focus of the movie, and they spent very little time fully developing it.
Yeah, I feel like they spent way more time talking about sex and underwear.
And penises, yeah.
And penises, a lot of penis stuff, yeah. Anyway. There is then a scene where Vijay introduces Balbir to his body double, which is a plan that Vijay created to keep Balbir safe while they try to draw out the attackers. So the real Balbir will be safely at home while the body double goes out and does his stuff. The body double successfully fools Varun, but unfortunately, as this poor double guy is driving to his own home, he gets surrounded by a dozen guys with machine guns who open fire and end up killing him.
Yeah, real dead.
Yeah, and I thought surely that Vijay would have his own guys following the body double, because that's, like, the whole point is to lure out the attackers.
Right.
No.
But no, they're just like, well, we'll just send him out into the world and see what happens to him.
Yeah, he'll just die. That's okay. Yeah. So yeah, the body double is dead, and they have a funeral for the fake Balbir, but then the real Balbir reveals that he is in fact alive. Mm-hmm. And through the phone tap, Vijay listens in on a call that Varun makes to the guy who led the attack, who is a guy named Asrar. And Asrar mentions that his brother is going to be mad that Varun didn't do his job, and Varun says, "You kill the son, and I'll kill Balbir in his own home." And then cue the electronic dance music as Vijay looks at Varun and plots murder.
Nicely said.
So yeah, we see Vijay choking Varun again, and now we're all caught up to the present. And we see Vijay meet with Freddy, the weapons guy, at a different fancy hotel, I guess. Lots
I think
of
they
fancy
own
hotels.
This one.
Okay, right. Well, that's a bummer, isn't it? And at the time that this meeting is occurring, we also see Asrar enter the hotel lobby with a bunch of goons in masks with guns. Mm-hmm. And we get this awesome action sequence with lots of guns and lots of shooting and... Mm-hmm. I love that Vijay was, like, fully in white, but then he's wearing red sneakers.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good look.
To match his blood.
Yeah, to match the blood, yeah. And after all those bad guys are dead, you might think it's over, but it's not. Because then there's an additional, like, 30 guys who all arrive with axes.
Yep.
And Vijay gets his own axe and takes them all out.
Yeah.
All of his own guys are just like, we'll just stand back here and sing.
Yeah.
About how brave you are.
This was my favorite musical moment.
It's good.
This,
yeah.
This is the song that won for Best Male Playback Singer. This was I just thought this was such a, it was so Bollywood, you know what I mean? Like, it's this and then the plain sex moment were the moments that I was like, this feels like, not exactly these things would be happening in, like, a classic Bollywood film, but these are the moments that feel... That are evoking that for me.
Yeah, I feel that. And I love that, like, the main reason that Vijay is able to kill all these guys single-handedly is because they're too scared to, like, rush at him.
Right, because he's
scary.
So
they hang back. Yeah, because he's terrifying. And then he does successfully kill them. Goes to show confidence can take you a long way.
It'll take you a long way. That and underwear with a tiger on it. That'll really just...
Yeah.
And you need underwear when you're going into a gunfight is what I learned from this movie. You can't go in
commando. I kind of understand. He didn't want things swinging around in his lungi. I kind of get that. Although he did shoot a guy just straight in the penis. Like a lot.
Like a lot.
Did
like
you
right,
see that?
Right
yeah.
up the... Oh, yeah, I saw it. Don't you worry. I clocked that one.
So yeah, the axe stuff is all very impressive, but then there are 200 more guys storming into the hotel. So they unveil the machinery that Freddy had delivered, which is basically like a tiny little car, but with the firepower of many, many machine guns.
Yeah.
And Vijay rides it out into the hallway. And I do, again, like, there's something so likable about him as he puts up, like, the bulletproof visor and then just lights a cigarette.
Yep, yeah.
He's also been slashed by a few axes at this point, but, like,
yeah, and I think he's been shot at least once at this point.
Yeah, in the leg, yep.
Yeah.
But he rides it out in the hallway smoking his cigarette to face down these 200 dudes, and he blows them away.
He does.
Vijay finishes, like, mowing everyone down. This hotel is destroyed. It's on fire. It's been blown up. Like, there's body parts everywhere.
Yeah.
And he gets out of his little machine gun car and goes to light a cigarette, which is when Asrar pops up and shoots at him twice.
He got shot a bunch.
Yeah, he did. And I said that Vijay seems to have a bit of Atmaram in him.
Yeah.
Because he does not die.
Except it's happening all at once.
Yeah.
No spacing.
He's using all seven lives. And he and his guys take out Asrar, but not before Vijay tells him his name. And it's the first time we're hearing it, because he's always just introduced himself as Balbir Singh's son. Which also is interesting that the first time he's really claiming his name is after an act of, like, horrific violence.
Yeah.
This is what I want to put my name to.
Yeah. I think that's a really interesting observation. Yeah. I also just want to say, too, that, like, the movie, like, they had me at this point. You know what I
mean? Yeah,
me
too. It was epic.
It was epic. I was invested. This was where I stopped. I watched it over two nights because it was so long. And I was, like, really excited to watch the second half. And then I just was, like, so disappointed.
Yeah, it was interesting at this point. And presumably this is intermission. And we come back to Vijay in the hospital. And Vijay is dealing with some major health issues. He lost his hearing in both ears.
Yeah.
His bladder no longer works. And his heart is failing. And no one except Vijay thinks that he will live long.
Yeah.
And Geeta. Actually, I do think Geeta is like, nah, you'll make it through this.
You don't know my husband. Yeah.
Yeah.
This was another area that I was, like, I was excited about. I was like, oh, he's not invincible. And also, like, now he has, like, several disabilities.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is what we're, this is the story we're telling. But
yeah.
But no.
No, no. It's more like you can just overcome whatever physical trauma your body goes through. It's fine.
Especially when you have money.
Yeah. And in the next scene, Vijay tells Reet that he killed Varun. So that's out now. And in the midst of this conversation, his urine bag drops and splashes all over the floor. And he's like, don't worry, it's just urine.
It's
and
fine.
I was like, I feel like this sums up the general vibe of this whole movie. I killed Varun. Oops, my urine bag. Don't worry, it's fine.
It really is. And it is, again, just like Ranbir's read of that moment is so good. And he's just so deadpan. He's just like, don't worry about it. It's just urine.
He's like, I need a bigger bag.
His lives, they only come in one size. Like, there are not bigger bags.
Yeah. And yeah. Also in this conversation, Vijay tells Reet that it's a shame she shared her love with a criminal. Again, he doesn't view himself as a criminal.
No, yeah.
I don't think he really ever has to face any sort of ramification or consequence. Yeah.
Yeah.
But Geeta then confesses to Vijay that when she was younger, she was excited by the story of him bringing a gun to the college, but now she's scared of him. And then they kiss. And I was just like, yeah, this is a fascinating relationship. And there's a lot of intricacies. I think Geeta's just kind of stuck.
I think so, too. I think a lot of what we see in this, the relationship between the two of them, is a nurturing woman stuck in a toxic relationship where someone is manipulating her.
Yeah, but, like, not even necessarily, like, I don't know that he's knowingly manipulating her. I mean, at times I think he is.
And I guess I didn't write manipulative down. I just sort of threw that in there. Like, it's just, it's toxic. She's a woman who's trapped in a toxic relationship with a toxic man.
Where
and
like
she herself is not, I don't think that she is a toxic person.
No, I
agree
with
that.
She
is a nurturing person who has been and manipulated in the way that I think oftentimes people do manipulate nurturing people in the sense that they're like, I'm just going to take advantage of the fact that you will give me love no matter how hard I push you. That's, I think, what I mean by manipulative.
Yes, yes. Okay, yeah, I see that as well. Yeah, because it sounds like he's nurturing sometimes, but then other times it's like he's hurting you intentionally. Yeah, it's
not good. I don't even feel like he's nurturing. I think he's just, like...
I was referring more to when she's talking to her parents about how he took care of her through childbirth. Oh, yes, yeah. And their
That's
kids.
A great story, and I love the story about... I love a story about childbirth existing. That was, like, one of few moments that I was like, oh, they actually are, like, trying to show a knowledge and appreciation for a woman's experience. Yeah. Yes, thank you for reminding me about
that moment. That's what I was mainly referring to about, like, it sounds like he is nurturing, like, but not in the healthy way you'd want him to be.
Yeah.
But anyway, later, Geeta gets a call that they have a heart donor, which they've been waiting for, and she excitedly runs out to tell Vijay, only for him to completely ignore her, because she's just excited that her husband's going to get a new heart, and he's busy designing and ordering more guns.
Yeah.
And frustrated, she throws his laptop, and he follows her back into the house and has this whole speech that it's a man's world, and he's a man, and... because of what he has between his legs, he needs to fight to protect his father, like men have fought for thousands of years. And again, after this kind of speech, I was like, we're going to come back to this, right? And he's going to acknowledge that, like, that isn't necessary.
Right, yeah.
But I, like, feel like we, yeah.
In some way, the movie is going to tell us that this is not an okay perspective to have, right?
Yeah.
And no.
It was more like, this is who he is.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, yeah, no, we got that.
Yeah.
And their kids come into the room in the middle of their argument, and their son tells Vijay that he's his hero. But so it is, it's just like, oh, God, it's a cycle, isn't it? Like,
right, yeah, yeah.
But then we shift vibes completely, and we see a wedding.
Uh-huh.
And it's Bobby Deol's character, Abrar, getting married to his third wife.
Mm-hmm.
And in the middle of the after party, a guy comes in and tells Abrar that Asrar has been killed. And Abrar immediately stabs the messenger repeatedly, including in the eyeball, which I find disgusting.
Yep, deeply disturbing. Hated every minute of it.
Yep. Abrar then goes on a murderous rampage, and we learn that he and Asrar had wanted to kill Balbir as revenge for their grandfather being thrown out of Swastik. Which I was also like, earlier in the movie, in the initial fight between Varun and Vijay was like, this deal you made, because also Vijay was very intelligent at
he
the time. Like,
yes.
Yeah. He's like, this deal you made, it's going to, like, make all of these big businessmen in southern India angry, and like, you're ruining the, like, ecosystem.
You're screwing over the people in Kerala.
Yeah. And so I was like, oh my God, there's gonna be like this whole, like, there are wider political ramifications.
Yep.
Like, this is gonna be an intelligent examination of, like, commerce and the local economy.
Right. And like the ways that big business makes decisions that have these rippling effects. And yeah, no,
no,
guess what
y'all.
The movie's not about.
No, it is just about some guys who are upset that their grandfather got kicked out of the family business, like, decades ago.
It's just a bunch of people annoyed about other people's dads. Like,
yeah. Yeah, and I was like, oh. But anyway, meanwhile, Vijay is just, like, naked in his garden, walking around to prove that he's all better after his heart transplant. He's feeling good. And it's at this moment that the fiance of his heart donor appears. Her name is Zoya. And he invites her to stay at the compound until she feels better about the death of her fiance.
Yeah, I hated this.
Oh, I hated every bit of it. Yeah. Because he goes to visit her and they have sex. And I was like, what? Because also, I didn't mention this, but he makes this whole thing in the first half of the movie about, like, don't have extramarital affairs.
Yep.
That's not cool.
Well, yeah, you're not supposed to have them with sex workers. That's the difference.
Oh.
You can have them with... Well, no. That this is the conclusion I come to. That but it's okay to have them with just women. I also just... Maybe I should wait to say this until the moment where it's, like, revealed and everything, but, like, I was just thinking about the fact that a woman whose fiancé died super recently and who's, like, going to meet you because you have her fiancé's heart in your chest is probably not gonna have sex with you, like, immediately. So it definitely, yep. I don't know about you, but it definitely, like, raised my hackles as a woman. I was like, there's something fishy going on here.
I was confused by it. I was like, this feels odd to me for so many reasons. But also, Ron Beer's kind of magnetic. He had a lot of hair. But I also haven't just lost a fiance.
Right. So. Like, in my mind, it was like either something fishy plot-wise is going on, or, this is a movie written by men who were just like, and then the fiance lady wants to have sex with him. So I was like, either way, I'm annoyed.
That's probably where my brain went. I was too busy writing notes down to, like, fully think about it or get angry about it. But yeah, so, and then we see Vijay get a Rolls Royce for Zoya, also in the color of, like, the love bites he left on her neck.
Yeah.
And also, whenever women around him are like, I don't know how I feel about, like, you talking about our sex life or pointing out, like, the love bites you gave me, he's like, no, it's fine. Like, it's fine. They're family.
Yeah.
But anyway, this Rolls Royce does blow up in the driveway.
It's fine.
And everyone's okay, but Zoya is super shaken. And she ends up telling Vijay that she's actually his enemy.
Yep.
And there's this whole plan where Abrar's brother, another brother, surgically made himself look like Vijay with the intention of murdering everyone in the real Vijay's family while Vijay was busy with Zoya.
Mm-hmm.
And Zoya says that the blast was meant to kill him. And then he says, no, that blast was meant to make you tell the truth. And he's known what she was since day one.
Yeah. I'm just so mad at him at this point. I'm like, why are you having sex with this woman? And then the fact that it comes out that, like, he knew and he was just doing it to keep up a ruse.
Yeah.
It was just to, like, play along with her games. And I'm like, you cheated on your wife, sir.
Right. Like, yeah. I've watched a lot of Bollywood, and I know that you can, like, stoke real romantic feelings without having sex.
It's very true. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I also was really confused because as it was happening, I was like, this also feels out of character for him. I know he's a little unhinged, but I was like, I do believe that
the
he would
sudden
not
betrayal of
yeah
Peter. Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
And I was like, okay, so this kind of explains that, but you're right, like, did you have to though?
Right. Yeah.
But anyway, Vijay tells his guys to set things up for Zoya wherever she wants to go because he's just letting her go. And then he goes to talk to Balbir and his grandpa. And we learn that grandpa started Swastik Steel with his younger brother, but the younger brother developed bad intentions. Mm. Like, what does that mean? I don't know. And he ended up being kicked out of the company and then moved to the UK. And that was Abrar's grandfather. And Grandpa asks Vijay to forgive Abrar, but Vijay refuses. He wants to go kill him.
I also just, real quick, there was absolutely literally no reason whatsoever to make the villains Muslim.
Yeah.
They were, like, literally related to them, and they, like, made it intentionally that they, like, changed religions.
Agreed. It was a specific choice, and
it was.
I wonder why that specific choice was made.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Vijay then tells Geeta that he's been having sex with Zoya for the past few weeks, and she's furious and hurt, and her performance in this moment is, I think, honestly, like, the best performance of the whole movie.
Unreal. Yeah, she's fabulous.
Phenomenal. Phenomenal performance. And Vijay says that anything he did for Balbir, and that makes her even more upset. And Geeta then says that his love for his father is a disease, and she wishes that Balbir had died that day of the assassination attempt.
Yeah.
And furious, Vijay gets a gun and aims it right in her face, and she says, shoot. And he does not. He shoots into the wall behind her instead, but also, they are in the room where their children are sleeping.
Yep.
Like, first of all, it's like, don't ever point a gun at your, like, wife or spouse. And then certainly
at anybody,
for sure. Yeah.
Because it's not even, like, he's facing in the direction. It's like, there's him, he's facing in the direction of the children sleeping. The gun is being shot, like, just past the bed where they're sleeping. Like,
it's messed up.
Literally blind to anything but devotion to his father in this moment.
Mm-hmm.
Not literally, but figuratively.
But then they both go and, like, comfort the children who are, like, woken up by this gunshot in their bedroom. Mm-hmm. And, like, they kind of make up, sort of. Like, they're both sad, and then they...
Well, she's... And she's comforting him.
Yeah.
That man should be comforting you. Like, yeah. He just put you through so much. You don't have to comfort him in this moment. He doesn't deserve that from you.
Yeah, and, you know, I feel like sometimes there's movies where you watch two people... who are in a dysfunctional relationship, and you're like, sometimes love is dysfunctional.
Yeah.
But here I'm like, I think you've overdone this aspect. If that was your point that like, this is true love, I think you missed the mark.
I completely agree. Yeah. This was where the movie fully lost me. The affair into this, I was just like, nope, can't do it.
Yeah. You can make more of a statement almost without the affair or the gun.
This was the one place where they went hard into the emotional connection. Yeah. And it was the one place where we really didn't need it.
Yeah. But then Vijay is off to get a bra, so.
And his last words to her are, don't remarry if I die.
Yeah.
Because it's okay for me to have an affair and have sex with another woman, but you can't remarry. Like, you can't find, like, comfort with another partner after my death.
Yeah. Anyway, he and his guys fly to Scotland, and they drive straight on to Abrar's estate, guns blazing, and they kill all the guards. And Abrar wants to go out and meet Vijay, but Abrar's like, I thought that this guy was a brother. Maybe he wasn't, but...
I think he was.
Yeah, okay, but they
I
act
think there's
like he's...
a lot of brothers.
They act like he's not part of it, but... Okay. One of Abrar's brothers, who acts as his translator, because Abrar doesn't speak, but the translator tells him not to go out and seek Vijay. And he's like, instead, we should go kill Balbir, because if we kill Balbir, we kill Vijay. True, apparently.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Vijay is searching the whole house for Abrar, and he can't find him. And he ends up questioning Abrar's wives, who tell him that he can find Abrar at the airport. So Vijay and his guys make it to the airfield in time to stop the plane from taking off. And Abrar emerges from the plane, and Vijay goes to meet him. And he's like, guys, don't fire any bullets. I am either going to kill Abrar or be killed by him. So these two fight, and it's very intense. It's a very long fight sequence. I will say I did appreciate the choreography of this fight. Seemed like mm-hmm. It was well thought out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Vijay ends up losing his hearing aids, so he can't hear anymore. And I do like they cut the music when that first happens.
Yeah.
And then he loses his shirt, which...
Yeah, very tiger of him.
Yeah. And it's now that we learn that this fight has gone on for 2 hours.
Yeah, it's exhausting.
Yeah.
Like for the people watching, I'm sure for the people fighting too, but I was thinking of the guys watching. Just
yeah,
like,
I mean, again, it was like a 10, or it felt like 10 minutes. Maybe it wasn't a full 10 minutes, but like it felt like a 10 minutes that was kind of exhausting for me as an audience member sitting on my couch, so I can only imagine.
I had to fight so hard not to fast forward, and I didn't, but I thought about it.
See, I think that's where it helps to just look at the bum. That's what I kept looking at. I was like, that's that butt.
I'll never miss out on an opportunity to do so again.
Good. Vijay realizes that he and Abrar are similar, clearly. Mm-hmm. And he asks Abrar to stop fighting and stop going after Balbir, and then Vijay will stop too. And he's like, great, we can stop all this bad blood between our two halves of the family. But Abrar refuses. And so Vijay saws through his neck. Mm-hmm. I also do feel like this is a moment for reflection of like, wow, I see that this like cousin of mine and I have a lot of similarities, but I don't actually feel like Vijay took anything from that or learned anything, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, Vijay returns home victorious, calling for his papa, a callback to when he was a child running through the halls looking for his dad on his birthday. And Balbir is there to receive him this time. And this is when Balbir tells him that he's, like, within the last day or two, been diagnosed with, like, stage 4 leukemia.
Yeah.
And they get into this whole fight because Vijay is like, come back to the States. We can fight this. And Balbir is like, just be practical. Like, I'm dying. You can't fight everything with violence. And they get into this fight where Balbir calls Vijay a criminal yet again, And Vijay realizes nothing has changed in 20 years, and they finally have the heart-to-heart that they've been dancing around this entire movie, where everyone airs their grievances, and Balbir finally apologizes for the mistakes he may have made as a father, and he says that in the next life, he will be Vijay's son, and Vijay will be the father, but Vijay should not make the same mistakes that he has in fathering his son, because it'll then be his turn to be the father again, and he'll show Vijay how much he loves him. Mm-hmm. And the end credits start to roll as Vijay cries, and this seems to be an unleashing of literally 36 years of pent-up emotion. Maybe he's better now, or maybe he is an improved man. But Geeta says that she's leaving him, and she also says she's taking the kids with her back to the U.S. And as the car starts to drive away, Vijay's son gets out and runs to him, and Vijay pulls him into a big hug. Mm-hmm. And here I was like, okay, but what does this mean? Because it makes me think she's staying with him.
Right.
It's just nothing's changed, and she's still trapped in this cycle of, abuse.
They want us to tune in for the sequel to find out.
Yeah, which brings us to the final scene, where we meet Abrar's brother, Aziz, who has Vijay's face, because this is the one who got the surgeries to look like Vijay. And he definitely looks like Vijay, and he is for sure very, very violent. Mm-hmm. And Zoya's here too, and it turns out she's pregnant. And it could be Aziz's or Vijay's. We won't know until it's born. And then we get the words, "Animal Park. Come, visit soon."
Uh-huh.
And I have two things to say about this.
Just two?
Just two main ones that struck me. Even if you're getting a physical reconstruction surgery to look like your enemy, why would you change your penis?
I also have that question. I am personally of the opinion that that does not matter. I mean, that man was Muslim, and and Vijay is not, but I don't think anybody is looking at.
Well, that was my thing. I was like, no one is going to notice that your penis doesn't look like Vijay's penis unless you're planning to take your pants off, in front of his wife or his parents.
Which, isn't the plan just to show up and kill everyone? Yes. Why do you need his penis?
I don't know. And I was like, why are we still talking about penises?
I don't know.
And number two, why wouldn't Vijay have used a condom? That is literally a question that Geeta asks him. Why?
You know he didn't have any sort of conversations about birth control or past, sexual history or STDs or anything like that.
Yeah, and it's that right there shows me that you don't consider your wife worthy of, respect or anything. Because, she's your sexual partner. Anything you get, you can pass on to her. And, it's not so hard to be oh, yeah, let me just put on a condom. No.
It's really not. It's really not.
But, no, I think they were just we need to have a baby.
And the other thing that drove me crazy about that whole thing is, first of all, you don't have to wait until the baby's born to find out who the father is.
Yeah, there's
you
a paternity.
Test that prior
your blood's
to the
not
birth.
The same.
And second of all, babies don't always look like their dads.
Yep.
So the baby could just come out looking like Zoya, and then what are you going to do to tell? How are you going to know? You just aren't going to know, I guess.
Oh,
I don't know.
Oh, God. Yeah, and it was during this scene where I was just like, no.
I know. I'm just...
We don't need a sequel.
And this, the fact of teasing a sequel, I think more than anything else, made me feel like this movie wasn't trying to do anything. Because I think any movie that was trying to have a message doesn't need multiple movies to do that.
It could white tiger it.
Right. So it really was just we wanted to just make a big, crazy movie and make a lot of money. And now we're going to make another big, crazy movie and make a lot of money.
It's tricky because I think the only way I'd be interested in watching the sequel is if they just fully went action with it.
But even then, it's just watch Boggy.
Well, yeah. But the hard thing is, too, I'm like, I like Rambir.
I agree. And I don't feel like I need to see him do it again. I don't feel like I need to see him play this character again.
Yeah.
And not even in terms of rewatching this movie, in a new movie. I don't feel like that's something I would seek out or want. And so, yeah, I think in one way, I agree with you and see your point that, like, going in a direction of just, like, let's just straight up watch this character beat people up. Like, sure, that sounds fun. But why are we making it? And that just annoys me.
Yeah.
And feels like a cheapening of what they, even the little bit that they did try to do of the with the first movie. I don't know. Yeah, it's complicated.
Yeah. The sequel feels...
We'll just have to see how we feel when it comes out.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, yeah. I was going to say that hair and that butt could get me.
It's, yeah, that could be enough to draw you in for sure. Before I dive into research, I did just want to call attention to the fact that, like, despite being nominated for so many awards, I don't feel like this movie got particularly good reviews.
Oh, okay.
Which I'm not going to say surprised me, but I did just want to recommend to anyone who would like to read a particularly good negative review that was very funny.
Oh.
Proma Khosla, writing for IndieWire, wrote a hilarious just, like, takedown of this movie, and the title is "Men Will Literally Make a 202-Minute Movie Instead of Going to Therapy."
Yeah.
But one of the things that I did not clock that there was a joke about, like, women and menstrual pads.
Like, oh, he did mention it. Yeah. Like, yeah, you change your pad 4 times. I changed mine 50 or something.
Yeah. Right. I didn't clock it as it was happening.
Yeah.
But what I learned from a different review of this movie is that there have apparently been men who, in the wake of watching this movie, have been claiming that they know more about menstruation and women's, like, needs for menstrual products, and that this, like, in some way, like, affirmed for them that, like, women only need 4 pads. And so I just wanted to make sure to call attention to how ridiculous that is. And again, just, like, this is why we need women writers.
Well, like, that's the thing, too. And I feel like we've talked about it, too. It's like you put something inane that maybe you meant as a joke. Like,
yep.
I'm going to hope that the writers meant it as a joke, because if they're like, no, this is actually what we believe about menstruation, it's like you need to be schooled. But
to talk to women, yeah.
But
talk to menstruating people.
Just because you know it's a joke doesn't mean that everyone coming to see your movie and, like, internalizing the alpha male messaging doesn't mean they know it's a joke. And therein lies the problem.
And I think realizing that led me to another of my, like, big kind of complaints about this movie, and just the fact that, like, because they didn't push whatever their messaging may have wanted to be far enough, I do think that this ends up being the kind of movie that could validate that sort of alpha male toxic behavior, that sort of incel opinion. I just think that it ended up being a dangerous movie because of that.
Yeah, especially when you factor in that, like, the incel types probably have a pretty strong overlap with the Hindu nationalist movement.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And then you factor in the... Yeah, the fact that the villains are Muslim. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, that's not great. Because now that I'm actually thinking about it, I'm like, okay, to make up for potentially the messages that this film pushed, we're literally going to need 20 more films combating that message to, like, equal it, you know?
Right. And we haven't seen many movies that have been successful, many big mainstream blockbuster movies that have been successful in promoting a pro-woman message.
Or, like, you know, anti...
toxic masculinity.
Anti-toxic masculinity, like, Muslim hatred, like...
Right.
Yeah.
Pro-Muslim.
Pro-Muslim. That's it.
Pro-respect between and among religious groups.
Yeah. Or just humans. Yeah.
Just humans, just people, yeah.
Oh,
anyway,
man.
my research is... not about any of that.
Okay, good. Because it's making me, I'm like, I don't know. Because I was just looking at it as, like, a benign, you know, okay, these messages aren't great, but, you know, it is what it is. I guess it was entertaining, but yeah.
But yeah, but it could be dangerous in certain people's hands. So I'm going to try to get through my research quickly here.
Yes, sorry.
But, no, it's a big movie and a lot to talk about. I certainly had a lot to say about it. But it's funny because before watching this movie, I was sent a New York Times article. Shout out, Sally. Thanks for sending that along to me. That I really wanted to talk about on the pod. And I thought, well, I might just not research something related to the movie. Mm. I just kind of want to talk about this article.
Yeah.
And then it just ended up feeling like I could draw a connection.
Oh, great.
Because today we are talking about wealth disparity in India.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I think there's a connection. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, certainly the family in the movie is absurdly wealthy, and we see how the business decisions that they make to increase their wealth come at the cost of the well-being of, you know, the greater populace. And they specifically mention the citizens of Kerala, you know, being impacted in some way by the work that they're doing. Mm-hmm. So that's the loose connection that I'm drawing here to this article that I wanted to talk about. And so the New York Times article was written by author Sonia Falero and is entitled "The Spectacle of the Ambani Wedding Event Reveals India's Inequality."
Yes. This wedding was everywhere.
Well, and what's interesting is it wasn't even a wedding. They have not gotten married yet.
Oh, but, it was just the festivities.
I'll mention that later.
Okay.
So the billionaire business tycoon Mukesh Ambani celebrated the upcoming nuptials of his son Anant Ambani with a lavish display of the family's wealth and influence. Pictures and videos from the event were all over social media for days. The guest list included several members of the Bollywood elite.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to find a list of all of the Bollywood people who were there, and I was really struggling to, because when I kept like Googling things, Google kept just giving me lists of all of the Americans who were there.
Oh, rude.
I know, I was really annoyed. But I remember seeing posts from Ranveer, Ali Abbott, and Ranbir Kapoor, from Shah Rukh Khan, Salman Khan, Amir Khan. I think that the three Khans, like, performed together. Mm-hmm. I think Ranveer might have performed, too. So sorry if all those details aren't totally accurate, and I know that there were more people there. Aditya, I think, was there. I think everybody was there.
Yeah.
But the American celebrities who were there included, and, you know, celebrities for various reasons and potentially not good ones, but Mark Zuckerberg, David Blaine, Bill Gates, Ivanka Trump, and Rihanna gave her first full-length performance in 8 years.
Sorry. Okay.
You didn't want me to just gloss over Ivanka Trump there?
That list is bonkers. I'm sorry. We talked about Mark Zuckerberg, and I was like, okay. And then you mentioned Bill Gates. Okay. Yeah. And then Ivanka Trump. And Riri.
Just rich people. Rich people. And people who can entertain. That's the guest list.
What? Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I also wanted to mention that Ishita Ambani, who is Mukesh Ambani's only daughter, she was the one who Beyonce performed at her wedding.
Yes.
So this is the same family.
Okay. That does not surprise me.
Yeah. Now, there's nothing wrong with a little extravagance in life, and I think we all enjoy a bit of a spectacle from time to time, but what Falero was trying to get across in her article was that the inclusion of guests from abroad in this event was not, as some claimed, a sign of India's growing prominence in the global community, but rather evidence of India's morphing from a democracy into what is essentially an oligarchy.
Mm.
Falero notes that, according to Oxfam, 40% of India's wealth belongs to the richest 1% in the country. Additionally, the top 10% own 77% of India's wealth.
Mm.
Oxfam emphasizes that while India has one of the world's fastest growing economies, overwhelmingly that growth benefits the extremely wealthy. Billionaires' fortunes have increased by almost 10 times in the last decade. Ugh. Meanwhile, 63 million more Indians are pushed into poverty every year, which equates to nearly 2 people every second.
Jeez.
And there's no denying the government's involvement in this.
Mm-hmm.
Involvement is the wrong word. There's no denying
they're complicit.
The fact that,
and like, so, yeah.
Complicit, that's exactly the word I was looking for. Thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
The way that Indian people are taxed proves this. 64% of goods and services tax revenue at the time of Oxfam's reporting came from the bottom 50% of the population. And only 4% of that revenue came from the wealthiest 10%, who, remember, own nearly 80% of India's wealth.
That's absurd.
Oxfam also noted that a 2% tax on India's billionaires would generate enough revenue to support nutrition for the country's malnourished population for 3 years. A 1% tax would fund India's national health mission for a year and a half. And a 2.5% tax would get 150 million children back into schools. That altogether totals 5.5% of their wealth being taxed to accomplish all of those goals.
Like, it's upsetting when I talk about that in the US, but yeah, that's upsetting to talk about it in relation to, like, the millions upon millions of more people who would be benefiting from it.
Exactly. Yeah, just the disparity is enormous.
Yeah.
But the likelihood of taxes like that coming into being anytime soon is extremely small, thanks to a thing called electoral bonds. This was a scheme created by Narendra Modi and his conservative government to allow huge anonymous donations to be made to political parties. The Supreme Court struck down this scheme just a few weeks ago on February 15th.
Okay.
But these huge anonymous donations had been happening for 5 years. So for 5 years, anybody could be making money. These anonymous donations.
Yeah.
And surprise, surprise, Modi's Bharatiya Janata Party received $635 million from these bonds, more than five times the amount received by any other rival party.
Yeah.
And also important to note that Modi is strongly favored to win the upcoming election in India. So since the Supreme Court put a stop to these bonds, it's now, and they ruled it unconstitutional, it's now slowly coming out who were behind these anonymous donations. And if I'm understanding correctly, Mukesh Ambani's ties to any of the donations is tenuous at best.
Okay.
But again, this is all fairly new, and also he's definitely a supporter of Modi. He has called Modi India's most successful prime minister, and he donated $300,000 towards the building of the controversial Ram Mandir temple complex, which is a Hindu temple being built on the site of a mosque that was destroyed by a Hindu mob in 1992.
Oh, I don't like anything about
that. No, it's all horrible. All of it's horrendous. It's also speculated that the Ambani wedding, which is scheduled to take place in July, is happening on Indian soil in response to Modi's quote-unquote Wed in India initiative. Now, in fairness to the Ambani family, the recent celebrations were not entirely without a humanitarian angle. They hosted a meal for 51,000 members of local villages and towns adjacent to the city where the celebrations were held. And Anant, who's Mukesh's son, who's getting married in July, who the celebration is for, his pet project, so to speak, is an animal shelter that houses and rehabilitates around 2,000 animals. And the guests of the celebrations were encouraged to, like, visit this animal shelter.
Okay.
So that's nice.
That is. And I also like that you called it a pet project.
I know. I got that from one of the articles I was reading.
Good.
But still, Falero's article compares the celebrations to events previously thrown by colonizers to honor the British royalty and notes how this comes at a time when India's democracy is at high risk. Freedom House, the nonprofit that tracks democratic governance, downgraded India from a free to a partly free country as, quote, violence against Muslims, Christians, and Dalits has been normalized, and harassment towards journalists, the incarceration of human rights advocates, and police violence against protesters also has become commonplace. Falero ends the article saying that no one is trying to say the Ambanis can't celebrate this young couple's love however they want or spend their money however extravagantly they choose, but that, quote, if these few are thriving in their symbiotic relationship with the Indian prime minister, it comes at the cost of the nation's experiment with building a democratic welfare state, and that is nothing to celebrate.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Fun stuff. You know, and I just think, again, it's important to remember that we see it on display in the movies that we watch, wealth disparity, and Bollywood overwhelmingly is telling the stories of the wealthy, or at least those who belong to the middle class. And I also think there's probably a lot to be said about Bollywood and big business and who is funding these movies and why the stories are being told that are being told. But all of that's for us to reflect on another day.
Yeah, I appreciate knowing more, like, the specifics of the disparity. Because I think anyone who has done the slightest bit of research about India or has watched any of these films recognizes that there's a wealth disparity there, but I didn't understand quite how drastic that is.
Yeah. Yeah, to put numbers to how extreme it is, and also to call attention to this, like, very recent exemplification of it.
There it is. You can see it. Okay.
Anyway, yeah, so that's fun. That's a fun place for me to have brought us to.
I was just thinking, we've talked about some heavy stuff. Bollywood news, I'm going to start because I saw this the other day and it just, I didn't like it. My man, Rondi Puda, love him so much. He posted a photo recently. I believe he's doing this new movie. I'm just going to show you this because know what he looks like.
Yeah.
So,
oh my God.
He posts this photo and literally didn't post any. It was just like for the movie, clearly. And that was really upsetting for me just to see on my feed. Because he is severely underweight.
He's like severely like underweight. Yeah.
The comments then were, "You're the best. Hats off to you. Like, our very own Christian Bale. Now that's a true actor." All of these things that, like, we see this in Hollywood too. So I'm certainly not, I'm not harping on Bollywood for this, but it's just like a bigger issue with, we should not be asking actors, and I'm not even saying he was necessarily asked to do that, but at a time when we have such good CGI and stuff, like, you absolutely just should not be physically harming your body potentially forever just to be, like, true to a role.
It's interesting. It's almost like, in certain ways, I feel like Bollywood is following after Hollywood in waves of kind of realization and, like, awakening to the problematic nature of certain things. And that is, in my mind, like, another example of that, because, like, we, and not to say that Hollywood's better than Bollywood in any way,
right,
that's definitely not my point, but just that, like, I don't know many people who would still praise an actor for doing what Christian Bale had done previously, or other actors who I can think of, like Renee Zellweger is another one who comes to mind, people who have had extreme back and forth.
Or Anne Hathaway did it for Les Mis. Like,
like in their body weight to play certain roles, because it's just, I don't think that people really get praised for that anymore in Hollywood. And so I think that that's a place where I hope that Bollywood would catch up soon.
Because
absolutely, that's not something that someone should be told that they should be, like, commended for doing. And whatever the reasoning is behind making that choice, like, people shouldn't be letting actors harm their bodies in order to take on a role. Yeah.
For some reason, just seeing the praise in the comments, like, well, this is what it means to be an actor. This is how you know he's dedicated to his craft. And it's like, well, we shouldn't be asking any of our actors to do this.
No,
so,
definitely.
And I do, again, for all I know, he was like, I want to do this. And you have the right to do with your body what you choose to do with your body. But
yes,
it doesn't exist in a vacuum either.
And
so
people
also
shouldn't necessarily be put on a pedestal for doing
correct. It. Correct. Yeah. Yeah, and I just worry about his health. 'Cause, like,
I do too, yeah.
It's one thing when you're in a situation where you cannot help that, but, like, to willingly choose to do that is hard to see.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, so I just wanted to talk about that. Let's just add another topic.
This is our funnest episode yet, I think.
But what's your Bollywood news?
I just think it's wild that there were, like, several Amazon Prime shows that were getting, like, you know, revealed and promoted this week.
Okay.
I think there was, like, some big event that Varun was hosting where he was like, Amazon Prime's new shows. And we got the reveal.
He's a Citadel boy now.
Well, yes, we got the reveal that Citadel India, their series is going to be called Honey Bunny, of all things. I kind of, my guess is, okay. I think that that's names. I think that's, like, the names. There's, like, Honey and there's Bunny.
Okay.
But we'll see. Uh-huh. Anil Kapoor is in a new show on Amazon Prime. So is Bowman Irani. Both of them looked like they were going to be fairly good.
Great.
And I also think, for whatever reason, this was also the platform at which they announced Boggy 4 is officially happening. And gasp! Coming out in 2025. Yes.
2025?
Yeah. That's next year.
That's next year. Oh my God, I'm so excited.
I'm excited too. It's going to be a good time.
How's he going to lose his shirt this time?
I can't wait to find out, Katie. That's what I'm most excited for.
It's like, how many shin bones is he going to break? And how's he going to lose his shirt? Yeah, those are really my two questions.
I think those are both great questions, and I look forward to finding out, what's going to happen.
Great. Anything else?
No, that's it.
Okay. Cool. So, pluggables, follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Two White Girls Talk Bollywood. Mm-hmm. Do what you do. Mm-hmm. And you can also consider subscribing to us on whatever podcast platform you listen to us on. You can also leave a rating or review. And as always, thank you so much for listening.
And join us as well on YouTube and Spotify, where we keep our Bollywood bangers playlists. We add our favorite songs from the movies we watch to those playlists, and we link them in our episode descriptions and in our Instagram posts on Tuesdays.
Yes.
So now,
what are we watching?
Well, we are going back in time. We just watched Ranbir Kapoor's most recent movie, and so mm-hmm. now we are going back to watch one of his earliest movies, Bachna e Haseeno.
Is this the one that, great. Oh my God, I'm so excited about this.
This is a movie that I have seen, but Katie has not seen.
Yeah.
And that's always fun. And it's like a stupid rom-com, and... I think it's, highly entertaining, and it also has one of my absolute favorite song and dance numbers in it that I don't think I've ever even shown you this. I maybe did once or something, but, it's going to be exciting.
Oh, my God. I'm so excited. I was also just thinking, after watching Animal, I was like, I don't think I've seen Ranbir play this role before, which was really fun for me because I do think most of the films I see him in, he's a romantic lead. He's a lover boy. He's kind of charming. He's Bunny.
Yeah. And I do, it's fun to see him play darker roles. I found myself thinking about his performance in Sanju, which is definitely something we should watch sometime.
Yes, I really want to see that. But now I'm like, well, now I want my lover boy, Ranbir. So.
Right. Well, that's exactly why this is what we're doing as a post-animal palate cleanser. Because, just silly and joyful and fun. And Deepika Padukone is also in it. And it's one of her earliest movies, too. So we're going to have a good time.
I'm very, very excited.
On IMDb, our plot description is Raj is a heartbreaker. He always is. That's not in the plot description. That was me. That was an aside from
just
me.
If your name is Raj, you're a heartbreaker.
His love stories with Mahi, Radhika, and Gayatri finally teach him about love and life and their own sweet, sexy, and sassy ways.
I like it. It's available on Amazon Prime. Oh my God, he's such a baby.
He's such a baby. Yeah, this movie came out 16 years ago.
But anyway, I've been distracted. But the synopsis on Amazon Prime is, meet Raj, who keeps falling in love. It's not his fault he's a heartbreaker. Come discover his three love stories, and each of them teach him a little bit about love and a little bit about life in their own sweet, sexy, or sassy way. Because, as a woman, you can only be sweet, sexy, or sassy. You cannot be all three.
Absolutely. Choose your own adventure on that one. I also really like it's not his fault that he's a heartbreaker.
It's like it is.
Then whose fault is it?
He's like, I just can't help myself.
It's his dad's fault.
Yeah.
It's not. His dad's not even in this.
Oh my God, Siddhartha Anand directed this?
Yes, I was going to make sure
that can't
about
be
that.
True.
Siddhartha Anand directed it, and Aditya Chopra wrote it. So
what?
Again, we know. Oh, and then the other two writers are women. So we know we're in for something good here.
Kim, stop. Oh my God, I'm so excited. I want to go watch it right now. So, done.
Yeah.
Okay, well, enjoy. I hope you're not too scarred after Animal.
Yeah, I wish us all the best.
Yep. And until next time, remember, Bollywood doesn't need us.
No.
But we need Bollywood.
Especially when there are nice, clear, cohesive messages that we approve of and can take away and hold on to. That's when we love it the most.
100%.